Hello, adventurers. This is episode 45.5. It's our first ever mini-sode. Is that a word? Can we say it's a word? Okay, mini-sode. So episode 45 was Vivian's story of her postpartum adventures. But after I got the episode posted, she sent me a follow-up with some more information, what had happened. So I wanted to read her email to you, give you that update. I skipped the usual, you know, the music intro. I hope that didn't give you vertigo. It's always weird when things start, you know, like when a TV show skips its intro. But first off, this isn't a TV show, so you know, we're not professionals here. We're friends. And second off, it's just like this is going to be such a short episode. It's like, why bother playing that ukulele song when you can. We could just jump into the meat of this. Okay, so I'm doing this in a real professional way. I'm reading off of my email, off my iPhone, because little known fact, I have this email address, courtney@ppdadventures.com, that I got when I made my website, ppdadventures.com. But it's been, I think it's more user error stupidity on my part, but I cannot figure out how to check my email off my computer and print things and be able to copy and paste. So I can only check it off my phone, which is less than ideal. But here we go. Okay. So, and first off, Vivian's name is spelled Vivian, but it's pronounced Vivian. So I'm getting it right here. Okay. She clarified that for me. So I know my pronunciation is often crap, and that's fine. But because I'm not a newscaster, we're just friends here. I gave myself a podcast. But I do like to try to get people's names right at the very least. And last names are usually beyond me, but first names I should at least get. So I am actually getting Vivian's name right here. Okay, so since we did our interview, Vivian's diagnosis has been adjusted. And so she gave me this email to read to you guys, and she wrote it in the first person, but I'm going to translate it into the third person because I feel weird doing a monologue for someone else when it's just me. So on April 12, 2017, it had been 2 weeks since Vivian noticed that her 25 milligrams of Zoloft was no longer holding her depression at bay. It had worked beautifully from the beginning of February until the end of March, beginning of April. She later learned that this rapid loss of response to antidepressants is called, okay, here I'm going to butcher pronunciation, tachyphylaxis, which according to Wikipedia is an acute sudden decrease in response to a drug after its administration. And so tachyphylaxis, it's spelled, if you're interested, T-A-C-H-Y-P-H-Y-L-A-X-I-S. Booyah, spelling bee. Okay, so that is suggestive of a bipolar syndrome. And Vivian had several crises that day and cycled between feeling fine and feeling like the world was falling apart. A psychiatrist that she was able to see increased the Zoloft to 50 milligrams, and that helped elevate her out of depression. But other things changed too. Her mind picked up speed, going, never quiet and calm. She was physically restless. She started to forget things easily and lost her train of thought frequently. The mood swings persisted. Her husband even noted that it seemed like the mood swings actually got worse. Again, she later learned that antidepressants can actually make bipolar cycling worse in terms of severity and frequency, both of which applied to her. But at this point, she was still undiagnosed as bipolar. She met with the psychiatrist who she's seeing now, who's great, very thoughtful and conservative, and careful in her evaluation and diagnoses. She later told Vivian that Vivian went through the bipolar mood. No, wait. Okay, I'm butchering this light. Okay, the psychiatrist told Vivian that the psychiatrist went through the bipolar mood disorder evaluation twice when Vivian saw her because she was concerned. Vivian did not have a typical presentation of bipolar disorder, but there were enough signs that it made the psychiatrist wonder. So if you remember from last episode, from the proper episode 45 that I tagged on at the end, that Vivian got an ADHD diagnosis. So that clicked. But Vivian later learned that ADHD and bipolar are highly comorbid, and this is documented in the literature, and there are many, many overlaps in terms of symptoms. And I do not know what comorbid means. So here, we're just going to go really professional here. So my phone, I'm reading from my phone, which I put into airplane setting because I just texted my brother a question and I didn't want him texting back and like it going ding. And look there, did you hear the ding? He dinged back. Okay. So comorbid, I'm looking it up on the internet now. In medicine, comorbidity is the presence of one or more additional diseases or disorders co-occurring, that is concomitant or concurrent with, my God, this is the mini episode. Mini. And how many words am I going to butcher? Okay, so in medicine, comorbidity is the presence of one or more additional diseases or disorders co-occurring with a primary disease or disorder. In the countable sense of the term, a comorbidity is each additional disorder or disease. Okay, and now I want to check Webster. This is how my thought process goes. Comorbidity, that first definition was Wikipedia. And now Webster says comorbidity means existing simultaneously with and usually independently of another medical condition. Okay, so ADHD and bipolar often occur together yet independently. All right, so that's what comorbid means. And now you know how my brain works. And if I was a professional, I probably would have looked up words I didn't know the meaning of before I did this. But hey, we're all friends here. We love each other, right? Okay. So Vivian learned that ADHD and bipolar are highly comorbid. And this is documented in the literature. And there are many, many overlaps in terms of symptoms. Her psychiatrist did what any doctor would do who is treating a depressed individual. She increased her Zoloft to 75 milligrams, just another step in getting her to a higher, stable therapeutic dose. And, you know, it's funny, as I'm reading this, she starts at 25, goes to 50, up to 75, which can sound drastic. But, I mean, shit, I was on 150, and I still take 150 now, the week before my period. So this all sounds actually kind of minor to me, but we all have different chemistries and, you know, the way our body responds to medication. So different strokes for different folks. So Vivian's first day on 75 milligrams, she noticed her mind was racing. She was agitated both psychologically and physically, extremely emotionally labile. Something wasn't right. And I just mispronounced that word, I'm sure. She kept taking 75 milligrams, expecting things to settle as her body adjusted to the higher dose, but the agitation kept building. 5 days later, she left a message for her doctor saying she needed to speak with her about the medication, that she was becoming unhinged. The next day, this escalated into a manic panic attack. Vivian was speaking so fast, she couldn't get the words out. She was rocking and slapping things and clenching her hands and moving in uncontrollable ways. She was on fire, amped up like never before. Her body and mind were no longer under her control. She learned later that antidepressants can precipitate mania in individuals with bipolar disorder. And I do not need to look this up to confirm this because this happened to one of my very good friends. She was diagnosed as having postpartum depression shortly after the birth of her son and given antidepressants, and that started her first manic episode. So Vivian had the same experience. Vivian's husband took her to the psychiatrist's office, her goal being to see what was happening and use the data to figure out what was happening to Vivian. She wasn't in the office, the psychiatrist, so a colleague of the psychiatrist saw Vivian and told her to go back to 50 milligrams Zoloft, which Vivian did for a week. But the hypomania persisted, and Vivian's gut told her to get off the Zoloft. She weaned herself to 25 milligrams before seeing the psychiatrist again. It was an impulsive, dangerous move, those are Vivian's words, but quote-unquote, I did it anyway. Impulsive behavior is characteristic of both ADHD and bipolar. Add this to the list of other ridiculous things I had done in the last few weeks that elicited, what were you thinking, from my husband, who I'm now reading, obviously, exactly what she wrote, who, bless his heart, must have been very confused and disturbed by my behavior. A few days before Vivian met again with her psychiatrist to tell her about the manic panic attack, a switch flipped, just like it had in the fall of 2015, a year and a few months after her first child was born. She felt phenomenal. Her libido came back in full force. She turned up the music so it was blasting and was dancing like she was in Flashdance. Colors were brighter, vistas more breathtaking. She felt awesome. Her therapist told Vivian recently that depression and anxiety disorders do not disappear overnight, even when treated, and that when people bring up switches being flipped, it is indicative of bipolar disorder. She recounted all this to her psychiatrist, who then said that she was making a provisional diagnosis of bipolar disorder. What drove it home for her psychiatrist, despite Vivian's atypical symptoms, for example, not meeting the clinical criteria for mania or major depression, was first, Vivian's misadventures with an SSRI, and second, the rapid switching of her mood for no particular reason. The psychiatrist asked Vivian if she felt like there was some possibility that she could get depressed again, and Vivian said no. She was confident that she'd never feel bad again, and that she was sure she'd never get overwhelmed like she had before, and that she could do it all. But then a part of Vivian said, "How can you say that? Just a few weeks ago, you were a sobbing mess. Why do you feel so certain?" The psychiatrist said this sounded like grandiosity, a little like delusions of grandeur, which is also part of the bipolar disorder symptomology. The psychiatrist took Vivian off Zoloft and started her on a mood stabilizer called Lamictal. She was shocked by her diagnosis at first, but after learning about it, going through all her memories of the last 3 years, she could see the pattern of drastic ups and downs caused by no clear external factor. After educating herself a little with the DSM-4, okay, I'm going to totally mispronounce this one, cyclothymia, which is basically bipolar disorder light fits. Okay, let's try that again. After Vivian educated herself a little with the DSM-4, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, it's what psychiatrists use to pick what a patient has as a psychiatric condition. Okay, so after educating herself a little with the DSM-4, cyclothymia, basically bipolar depression light, fits, almost like the ADHD diagnosis fits. Vivian feels confident that the mood stabilizer and therapy are the right path for her. The doctor said that her presentation is so atypical that she can't be sure what's going to happen. A, she has bipolar disorder 2, true lows, and hypomania, or B, she has bipolar disorder 1, true lows and mania, that is just starting to emerge. Vivian learned that treating bipolar disorder early is critical because each episode of mania or depression increases the risk of subsequent attacks. And while everyone knows depression is dangerous with like suicidal thoughts, mania is equally, if not more dangerous. For example, I can totally dodge all these cars and cross the 6-lane highway. I'm Superman. Bipolar disorder evolves, it emerges, it gets exasperated, so treatment early on is crucial. While Vivian has gotten some flack from her family about how much time she's spending thinking about this and how she's probably just stressed, she feels strongly now that her intuition is and has always been right about this. When her daughter was just over a year old, after a series of violent, rapid mood swings, she wondered if she wasn't bipolar. When she started treatment for postpartum depression after her son was born and started to see bipolar-like tendencies in her symptoms, she knew she needed to keep an eye on her antidepressants and that her reaction to them would be indicative of bipolar disorder if there was a bad reaction. When she confided in her sister about when Vivian confided in her sister about her fear that if she wasn't getting the right treatment, that she could ascend into full-blown mania and have a psychotic break, her sister told Vivian that she was catastrophizing. And yet I love podcasting. Can't say words. Okay. So when Vivian confided in her sister about her fear that she wasn't getting the right treatment, that if she wasn't getting the right treatment, she could ascend into full-blown mania and have a psychotic break, her sister told her that she was catastrophizing and that she was probably just really anxious. But Vivian feels validated now and knows that her intuition was correct and that she is the only one with enough data to make informed decisions about her treatment. Vivian feels at last that the whole picture has come into focus with the diagnosis of ADHD and bipolar disorder and that she's on the right path. And if the bipolar diagnosis bears out in her treatment with Lamictal, then this will be a path that she will follow for the rest of her life, maintaining it, treating it like one might treat high blood pressure or diabetes. Vivian's starting to accept that and see more of her true self, which makes her feel safe. She hopes her story will be helpful to listeners who are still struggling and are confused and in a fog. There can and will be clarity, so stay the course, believe in yourself, and you'll get through this. So that's Vivian's update, and thank you, Vivian. That is just so well thought out, and you know, I'm sorry you've had to have all these misadventures, but I'm glad that you are on the path to a diagnosis and the appropriate treatment. And I will post show notes on ppdadventures.com and will figure out how to paste out of my phone and get it on the internet so that you can read in Vivian's exact words her update. Thank you for listening. Postpartum depression and all maternal mood illnesses, including bipolar disorder, are incredibly lonely and isolating, but you are not alone. There are thousands of people struggling with maternal mood disorders right now, right alongside you. And with proper treatment, you can and will make a full recovery. And also, as I stutter over my own words, you did nothing wrong. You did nothing to bring this on you. This is just brain chemistry, biological stuff happening, just like diabetes and you would take insulin or any infection where you'd need antibiotics. This is science happening to you. This is biology. This is not your fault. I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.